P.S. I Love Hoffman is brought to you by the Cage Club Podcast Network. For all things Cage Club related, head on over to cageclub.me. That's cageclub.me.
So I think we said we were going to do this last episode, but because we haven't done it in a while, but we love when Hoff fans reach out and comment on the episodes. Sometimes it's just a quote, sometimes it's a little anecdote, but
we love hearing from the Hoff fans.
Yep.
And so I guess let's read some. Let's open up this Facebook. Owning Mahoney.
Owning Mahoney.
Let's see. Travis said, whoa, nothing makes me feel more miserable than his performance in this movie, and that's not an insult.
You know, I love that one for a couple of reasons. One being that it wasn't a big popular episode as far as people liking and commenting. And I think it is because it's a tough film to watch that you just don't want to feel the way that character
does.
I agree with the assessment there. Yeah.
But, I definitely agree with the assessment.
But terrific performance by PSH, nonetheless.
So, for Cold Mountain, we have a lot of comments, actually.
It's a decent amount. That one did, you know, epic movie, epic comments.
Yes. Susan wrote, love this movie. So many emotions and the hardships that people experience during this time period. Fair point.
Thanks,
Susan, for reaching out.
Thank you, Susan.
Rose says,
I love
this movie. Huh?
Susan B. Anthony. It's not even the right time period.
No. Rosa says, love this movie. A lot of comments for Cold Mountain. Not too many meaty ones. More that people just enjoyed it. And
sure.
Enjoyed the epic, which we did too. Which we commented. Well, now we asked for it and we got it. Along came Polly. Can't wait to crack into these.
Ooh, yeah.
Steve just says, raindrops.
Yeah, well, it's just, such a quotable movie. That's what I was expecting from a lot of people.
Tony says, he's so funny in this. We agree.
Great assessment.
Reese, him and Alec Baldwin easily steal the show.
Again, that's, I feel like we agree on that.
I want to ask if you agree with this one. Margot writes, loved PSH in this movie. Should have been nominated for an Oscar.
Okay, well, love this movie. I've said it so many times how much I do and how much it is like a top five favorite performance of his, but I will go as far to say he should have been nominated for a Golden Globe because at least that's like separated between comedies and dramas, you know?
Yeah.
So like he could maybe fit into the supporting...
I don't know how serious Margot was being, but... I totally understand.
Yeah. I mean, he does a great job. I mean, so.
So I read this the other day, and I wanted to get your opinion if this person was being serious or not. Kenny writes, I saw that. Didn't even remember he was in it, and don't know why you'd want to remind anyone.
I think he's probably, like we said, it was like a divisive
film, I think, not only is he questioning the podcast, I mean, not only is he questioning that episode, I think he's questioning
us,
yeah, our reasons for living and existing.
Yeah, well.
Thanks, Kenny.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And then I've got the last one here. It's from our most recent episode of Empire Falls, and April Hawks, thanks for reaching out and saying how she remembers the production and how big it was since they filmed near where she lived. And obviously we've said on past episodes that we grew up in an area, well, Brian living in the city now and me working in production and where we grew up, they filmed that TV show Ed back in the day. So it's always fun unless they take away your parking. And
yes. So I guess I'm assuming, what was her name?
April.
Oh, well, I guess April's from Maine because they actually shot on location in Maine. So thank you for reaching out to us from Maine, April.
Coming up and we're going to have a nice lobster dinner.
Yes, you owe us for some reason.
Iggy Pop! Amen! Let it rot!
I'm a fucking idiot.
Red meat, we crave sustenance.
I'm an artist.
Hello, my name is Jimmy Cody.
Why don't you have some fun?
Fun!
Tommy?
It's a kingpin.
Whoever she is, I'm gonna find her and I'm gonna hurt her.
I've spent the past 3 years learning Finnish!
I'm always home, I'm uncool.
This is a process of dehumanization.
Shut up!
Hey, Hoff fans, welcome to this week's edition of the PSI Love Hoffman podcast. our love letter to the remarkable career of the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman. I'm Brian Rodriguez.
And I'm Kyle Reinfried.
We're always home, we're always uncool, and we're always ready to talk great movies. Today, we finally got it. We finally got the DVD.
Came in the mail, a used copy of Strangers with Candy.
And as we mentioned last week, this one was impossible to find.
Yes, and I just want to say to you, because I don't think I've said it yet, and to you Hoff fans out there, I've done my due diligence, and I went and looked at every other film we will be covering, and they are at the hardest to rent from Amazon, but they're not that that's a hard thing to do.
So as of when we're recording this podcast, which is
being released November 8th.
But which is a couple days before that.
Yes.
Every movie is accessible. So this is our last hard-to-find movie. Now there's hard-to-find short films, hard-to-find little side projects.
Yes.
And we'll handle that when we do our kind of
second act thing.
However, in terms of his main body of work, this is the last hard-to-find one.
Yeah.
And as we
it's
mentioned
not
last
a Shuler,
week,
but it's a...
No, not it's not as bad as Shuler. But it's like, as you mentioned last week, we couldn't find this legally or even illegally streaming somewhere.
Yeah, I mean,
which is odd.
I pride myself on knowing the nooks and crannies of the
dark web.
Of the dark web and Strangers with Candy. And you know, this is a movie spin-off from a 3-season long Comedy Central TV series, and so you know, it's not like, I mean, it's a low budget indie comedy that, I mean, did all right, but it's got its niche audience, but I just didn't think it was going to be that complicated. And also, I know we both shared the sentiment of that you could watch the 3 seasons on a couple of different
platforms, but
they didn't have the movie, so
no. So Strangers with Candy, then. I assume you had not seen it before?
No, and I actually have never seen... I know only, at most, even to say, a handful of people that watched the show.
I'm familiar with the show. Like,
yeah.
I might have caught it on, like, a Saturday at Comedy Central, like, here and there. Mm-hmm. But I never, like, got into it. Like, not because, you know, people, I never got into it. And that's, like, their way of saying they didn't like it. That's not what I mean. It was never anything I really watched.
It wasn't on my radar.
And it's... I felt a little bit lost at times, only because I could surmise watching this as, like, maybe I wasn't getting all the jokes, because I think there was a lot of tie-ins, like, to the series that I just didn't know.
Yeah, I guess the one good thing, so this is supposedly a prequel.
Yeah, but it's not very prequel-y.
No, but I'm just... I mean, without having, like, I'm sure there are plenty of, like, inside jokes, but I read, like, also there's a couple of actors that, it was kind of weird. They said, like, in the trivia and stuff like that, that they looked too old to play, like, high schoolers, and just, I mean, in the sense of that, I mean, I understand she is older, she's supposed to be in her 40s, mm-hmm. You know, Amy Sedaris' character of Jerry Blank, but I think if you're a fan of the series and you're seeing this movie, you would have forgiven some people looking too old to be high school students.
Yeah, that's a little weird. I mean, why don't you tell our audience what Strangers with Candy, the film, and I guess by extension the series, what's the premise?
It's like when I was writing this, I was just like, this sounds like such a dramatic movie. Having just got out of prison, Jerry Blank returns home to find out her mother has passed, her father has remarried, and is now in a coma. To try to get him out of it, she decides to return to high school to prove she is not a loser. And she has, like, some worth to herself.
That's fair.
So, I mean, that is the plot. But
of the film and the series.
Yeah. And so it definitely, I mean, it's a very quirky comedy, and it had me laughing at a couple of solid spots. I mean, the director also acts in it. His name is Paul Dinello.
Yeah, Paul Dinello, and he's one of the head writers on Colbert's show. Like, the late show.
Oh, okay.
I think he is the head writer, or, like, at least the second... I don't know the rankings of writers, but he's still, like, one of his guys there.
Yeah.
Or a producer, at least. Stephen Colbert. I mean, it's all the people who brought the show. Amy Sedaris and Mitch Rouse are, like, the showrunners and producers.
Oh, okay.
And they all kind of came back for this.
Yeah, this is his only feature he's directed. And now also I saw that Amy Sedaris has a new show.
Yeah, didn't you say you, like, watched an episode the other
day? Yeah, it was really, really funny.
She's a funny person.
It's called At Home with Amy Sedaris, and she just does this very, you know, Martha Stewart, Julia Child, like, not just cooking stuff, but, like, you know, spoof on 50s, 60s housewife kind of thing, and she does it well. It's funny.
Yeah, I mean, Amy Sedaris is like a comedy legend, and she's a comedy legend because I think she just... I mean, you see it clearly with this show. She kind of, like, ironically to this new show, she kind of has broken that, like, mold of, like, a woman comic. You know,
yeah.
She doesn't try to be, like, for lack of a better word, sexy or, like...
For her new show?
For this show and just in the past.
Yeah, well,
like,
she's got the DVD cover right in front of us. She's doing this whole overbite thing for this character.
Yeah, well,
what it reminds me of, although she's supposed to be older, but she's almost like the female Napoleon Dynamite. You know?
That's fair. No, but she's very just like funny. And I mean, obviously her brother is funny too, David Sedaris, the humorist and author. I mean, a lot of people maybe now recognize her. She's one of the voices in BoJack Horseman. She's like
it's a show I've never watched.
Wow, it's very, very popular.
I know.
Margot Martindale's in it too. Another Philip Seymour Hoffman collaborator.
Oh,
yes, the famous as herself. she's just like, again, a comedic legend. And this is to me a groundbreaking character. I knew about it. I was familiar with her, but it's not a show I watched. But it's very much you see like. It's very much sketch comedy without being sketch comedy, if that makes sense. It's like one long sketch.
Yeah. I mean, hey, the film, again, looking at the cover, two thumbs up. Ebert and Roper.
Thank you. Thank you for reading.
Hey, that's...
Your award-winning segment of reading the DVD cover and describing it to people.
Yeah, it's been a while. I think it was Joey Breaker was the last one.
I think we even
it.
Cut that out because it was so like... So, I mean, you mentioned the critics. 52% Rotten Tomatoes. 55% audience score. So, not the best, but...
Not the best, but, like, yeah, I mean, it's
fair.
Got its cult fans, so
cult
I guess...
Cult fans, exactly.
Yeah.
So, it made $1.9 million in the box office.
Oof, okay.
So, not that great. Oh, no. Sorry, there's an adjusted growth here. $2.3 million.
Oh, with does it say even the budget?
The budget does not say the budget.
Okay.
So... This is basically, what, 5 years after the series was canceled?
Yes. Yeah, because I have it right, yeah. The TV show was from... I kept looking. I was like, did they write the facts wrong? Because it's three seasons of 10 episodes each, so 30 episodes in total. And from April 7th of 99 to October 2nd of 2000. So it's only... like a year and a half, but and I understand it's only 10 episode seasons, but they decided to release all these three seasons.
Oh yeah, that's weird.
A year and a half.
That's
period.
Interesting.
Yeah,
that's interesting. I like.
You know,
that.
It's not even like it's a part now. You know, so many TV shows now are like half of the season and then a decent break and then the second half. But the fact that they decided to call them three different seasons, I found that interesting. And then I think this also really helped me as someone that had never even seen a single episode. So Colbert, Mitch Rouse, and then Paul Dinello, they saw an episode of Scared Straight, the trip back, the episode was called. So Scared Straight was, you know, a TV show from, I think, like the 80s.
I just know it like, you know, I'm going to scare you straight.
Yeah.
Like about criminals trying to make high school kids.
Yeah. So they saw this episode,
behave, I suppose,
of, and it was called The Trip Back, and it's about Florrie Fisher, who recalled the days of being a New York City prostitute to a group of high school students. And then they all were friends and knew Amy Sedaris and said she looked like an impressioned Fisher very well. So that, just to me, again, as someone that had never seen anything of this show, and just to understand a little better, like, it just helps with the... Like, one of my favorite things about this movie was, like, even the high school students were, like, okay. One of them played now by the very, very famous, huge Hollywood superstar actor, Chris Pratt.
Yeah, we could definitely get through the cast.
But I love the way that teachers were in this film, because it just made me, as if you guys don't know, Brian and I went to high school together, and it just reminded me of, like, or made me think
I was
more,
gonna say.
Made me think more about teachers and, like, what their, like, separate lives, like, in school, not, like, outside of school lives, but just, like, in the teacher's room and just, like, weird...
I hope you don't think this stuff went on in our high school.
No, because this is over the top.
Yeah, everything here
is over like, the top. This is, like, I love the one scene they're having, like, a meeting in the teacher's lounge and there's, like, a full cocktail bar.
Yeah.
And the guy that plays the principal in this is friggin' hilarious.
Yeah, what's his name? I know this principal black man. Onyx Black Man. Gregory Holloman.
I don't even, actually, I loved him so much I didn't write down his name.
Gregory Holloman.
Okay.
So, this is a film where you could really tell that, like, again, Amy Sedaris, Stephen Colbert, like, and what's the director's name? Paul Danilo, again.
Mm-hmm.
That they just have, they're just friends. I think Paul Danilo dated Amy Sedaris, I read that, for like 10 years or something.
Okay.
So, like, they just have a rapport.
Yeah.
And it's like friends having fun. And I don't know if you read this production note on it. Like, basically, this, they had no intention of making this movie.
No, they didn't. And did you... I watched, so our main man, Philip Seymour Hoffman, is clearly in it. But only in the beginning and at the end. And we'll definitely play you the first clip of him, because that's, like, the most...
Yeah, not a lot of PSH in this one.
No.
Which is very unfortunate.
So, but they had a commentary for it. So, point being, I started listening to the beginning of the commentary, and then I fast forward to the end of the commentary, and they said that they had zero intentions. Do you remember? I don't recall exactly.
So I just read a note that they basically, they got together for something else, for another project, and then they kind of just started to write all these other scenes, like reminiscing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
From the project, like, hey, let's just make a movie then.
Yeah, they just get, well, to go back to, it's like you said, it's almost like sketches.
Yeah.
They just kept writing down little notes of funny scenarios for her to get into. And they're like, oh, I guess we haven't, that's what it was. They're like, oh, I guess we have enough to make a movie.
Yeah, and that's why, it is a prequel, but I would say the first, like, 10 minutes are a prequel. It just tells you how she got there, and the rest is just... And that to me, that's my biggest criticism of this film. It just feels like a very long episode of a series.
Okay.
Like, I could see this being a pilot. Like, I had hard times focusing at certain points, because I just felt like, while it is funny, it didn't feel like a movie to me.
No. At least it was only like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
So we'll say, even though I know obviously only like sitcoms are usually then like 23 minutes or whatever, but let's just call it 3 to 4 episodes of TV.
But the climax to me felt more like a sitcom climax than like a movie climax. You know, like, it didn't feel like I would didn't feel like 3 episodes in one. But it felt like just a long episode of what this series is like.
Yeah. Are you even, like the science fair at the end?
Yeah, I mean, that's the climax, that number. And it seems like it would be something from the series. But it was funny.
Yeah.
Like I enjoyed this movie. It's funny, but we'll get into it. Like you said, PSH isn't a lot in it, but he's in it because we're talking about it.
Yeah. No, we're just going to start talking movies that he's not in.
Randomly.
Like, yeah, and like things we think he would fit into, or...
Like when you walked in, I was watching Zero Dark Thirty.
Yeah, and so I asked you, oh, did you just start watching all Chris Pratt movies?
No, and I was like, this is a Hoffman film. He's in it, but nobody, yeah, he's actually not.
He plays Osama Bin Laden.
Yeah, he's the Bin Laden character. No. I could see him being like a government person in that film, though.
Doesn't he end up he's a government person in, like, the Hunger Games movies, I think.
Yeah, a different kind of government. Maybe one day we'll be there, but not yet. I don't know. I've actually never seen Hunger Games, but we'll discuss that. But I don't think it takes place in real today's America.
No.
I'm pretty sure.
I don't even know if it's supposed to be Earth.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, we'll educate ourselves when the time comes. We got a little bit of time before that.
But anyway, they have, like you said, it is funny, and they have a decent cast.
Yeah, yeah. So you have Amy Sedaris, of course, Stephen Colbert, Paul Dinello.
And then we've got Bilbo, the original, the OG Bilbo Baggins, Ian Holm.
Oh, Ian, yeah, no, he's cool.
Yeah.
Some other people I recognize. There's this girl in there, Deborah Rush. Who did she play? I don't know. I wrote her down.
So she plays her stepmom.
Okay,
Sarah
yeah.
Blake.
I'd seen her.
I recognize her from American Wedding.
Okay, yeah. Like, she pops up from time to time.
Yeah. And then,
Maria Thaler is someone. Thayer, sorry. Maria Thayer is someone who's in this film. She's, I've seen her in, she's in Accepted, Forgetting Sarah Marshall. She has, little bit roles. But I know she has a TV series on True TV, I think? Those Who Can't? Yeah, it's on True TV, because, again, Impractical Jokers,
she's the redhead friend.
Yeah, she's the redhead friend.
Yeah, I first, definitely remember her. She was in, Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah. And she's funny.
Yeah, and she was on the show.
She was on. Yeah, she was one of the few people, not few, but one of the people.
One of the people that carried
students,
over. Students that carried over. Yeah. We get famous Hollywood couple Sarah Jessica Parker and Matthew Broderick.
Yeah, they don't share a scene, do they? Oh, they might, in Teacher's Lounge.
In the Teacher's Lounge. Yeah.
Allison Janney.
Yeah. Justin Theroux.
Yeah, we were talking about him the other day.
Driver's Ed. Yeah, because Jennifer.
Oh, Jennifer Aniston. Yeah, his
Polly.
Wife.
And like I said, Chris Pratt, and he plays the Amy Sedaris wishes was her.
Yeah, the popular kid in school.
Oh, that's the whole thing. So what are they? The squat team, the thrust team, squat thrust team. There's just a lot of what. Okay, we'll get into it. But there's a lot of. This is 2005. The show was from 99 to 2000 or whatever, but there's a lot of jokes at the expense of using the word gay
and yes
fag
yes.
and stuff like that, so
yeah, there's definitely language I wouldn't repeat today, but the show was like that. I remember the show being like that.
Yeah,
because you know what, honestly, high school at the time was like that.
It was
high
like
school
that.
Was a very homophobic environment.
Yeah, oh, yeah. And on top of that, and again, she is supposed to be in her late 30s, early 40s,
yeah.
And so she's also trying to fit into high school in a time where that was definitely even more. You know, when she was first in high school.
It wasn't okay, but it was more said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, okay, I just want to say this one. I thought it was funny. So Stu, the meat man, that was Deborah Rush's, boyfriend while her
yeah,
husband.
And he's from the show, too.
Oh, is he? Okay.
Yeah, he's that same character. He's just the stepdad, but not really.
Gotcha. Yeah, because also then the guy we recognize, Dan Hedaya.
Yeah.
He's, in Rookie of the Year, and then, he's also, plays a Latin bad guy in Commando.
When I saw him, I thought instantly he's, the dad of Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan in Night at the Roxbury.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the plant flower salesman.
But,
what is it? No, it's fake plants, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I was very proud of myself from wrecking. I was just what do I recognize? So it's Stu the Meat Man. His name is David Pesquesi?
I recognize his face, but I didn't remember.
All right. From one of our favorite films, and just
really?
a movie we definitely talk about, okay. And I really love it, but I think you do too. He plays Honk the caterer in Father of the Bride.
Oh wow, that is one of your favorite films.
I just love between him and Martin Short and that
yeah. No, I mean I know exactly now. Wow, he That guy, like, aged well.
Right?
Yeah, like, he doesn't...
And I'm going to say this to Amy Sedaris. Like, she wasn't... In 2000... She looks the same as in 2005. So kudos to her that whether she looked good in 2005
Hollywood's
or
Hollywood's timeless. Yes. Timeless looks, I suppose. maybe that's medically induced. I don't know, but whatever. Oh, speaking of medically induced, you mentioned the father.
Yes.
Played by a different person. And one of the criticisms of... the film that, like, so okay, I should backtrack. It seems like from reading most, and if you're a fan of Strangers with Candy, the TV show, let us know what you think about the film. But it seems like from most of what I read that the fans of the show like the film. One of the criticisms was that this catatonic father character was so different in the TV show than in this film. In the film, he's more just like kind of brain dead and stuff.
Okay.
On the show, he's played by... Oh, God, I have to look him up. You don't know his name, but you've definitely seen this guy. And you'll tell me where you've seen him when I show you a picture. And he'll, like... Every time they'll cut to him in the show, he'll be doing a different, like, funny pose that he, like, freezes in. And that was definitely not this character in the movie. Not at all. It's just interesting that they wouldn't continue that, like...
I'm even surprised that, like, not that, like... Again... Dan Hedaya, like, not that he's a big,
but he's some name. Like anyone could have played a Katana.
Yeah,
guy.
Exactly.
it's kind of really funny. So the original guy who played him is called Roberto Gary, in the show I'm talking about. Like, you've seen his face around, like.
Oh yeah.
He this is what he would do. Like, I'm sorry, guys, I'm showing Kyle a picture of like stills from the show. Like, he would just like be frozen in like
weird
poses.
Hand and face and.
Or just like doing an action that's not like, you know.
Yeah.
Like.
That seems like almost like a trademark thing from the show.
Which is weird that they didn't carry that over.
Did he pass?
I don't think so. I mean, he might be, but just too old to act. You know, but. It's just, sorry, we're looking at more pictures.
Yeah.
It's just one of these things, like, so weird, right, that they didn't continue that over.
Yeah, from knowing nothing about the show, it just seems like that might have been, like, you know, obviously it's a continuing gag, so why not include that, but...
It's funny because Colbert, though, was someone who I think has aged, and not that he looks, like, bad now, I think he looks distinguished, but if you look at, like, him from the show, you know?
Yeah, well, so, I mean, if that's from the show, that's, you know, 18 years ago.
But even from, I think, from the show to the movie, he has a little bit of a different look.
Yeah.
Regardless, I mean, let's get into the nitty gritty of this. It's not going to take us long because there's not much stuff.
No, so, I mean, for the people that, you know, hadn't seen the movie, the off chance, like, you know, if I was one of those people that went to go see it in the theater and hadn't seen the show... they open up the movie with, like, a montage, and it's intercut between her on a bus leaving prison and her inside a prison. And, I mean, the big thing with this character of Jerry Blank is that she's kind of, like, zero filter. And,
oh, for sure.
Like, a blabbermouth and just... So, again, since I was listening to the commentary up through when Philip Seymour Hoffman gets into the movie... They were saying that the little joke with that was they just imagined she, like, ratted everybody out in prison. Because, again, it opens up with her getting beat up by a bunch of different
people.
That's
fair.
Like I said in the synopsis, she goes home and someone she doesn't know is there and finds out that her mom is dead, her dad's in a coma, and then Ian Holm pretty much gives some exposition to exactly what's going on. And... you know, she's just going to start out where she left off. And this was, like, one of the jokes that I was like, oh, okay, I think I'll find this funny. Because she's like, you know, like, as the doctor, Ian Holm, is just like, okay, you gotta do something to, like, motivate him, to, like, get him to wake up. And she decides that she's gonna go back to high school. And she's like, I'll be prom queen. He's like, make honor roll. So I thought that was a pretty good joke. But, and then she meets her half-brother, which, I mean, he doesn't play a big role in this movie, but
no, I mean, but it's a, again, you could see how it's setting up. This almost serves like you said, a prequel, but it almost serves as like a pilot as well.
Yeah,
except different actors.
So I'm sure in the TV show they must have had like more stuff between like her. And
yeah, I mean, like from time to time, but again,
her half brother.
all the stuff that was in the movie would be more than enough for a TV show episode in terms of, like, the brother's character.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was trying to read, like, synopsis of episodes and stuff and seeing, like, you know, some episodes had more, some had less. Oh, but it wasn't the same actor, FYI. He's one of those who was recast.
Yeah. And so, I did you laugh at this? I laughed at the honking of the horn, and then she makes her drive.
Yeah,
the stepmom driver to school, but the school's cool. Literally right across the street. So, it has that, again, almost like it's 90s comedy vibe, you know?
Yeah, but 90s indie comedy vibe. This is not like Friends or something, or Seinfeld.
No, but even more like to like the gags that you would find in like Wayne's World.
Yeah, that kind of thing, yeah. I mean, I know Wayne's World's not an indie comedy.
No.
But it's definitely like...
It's quirky.
It's quirky, yeah.
It is about like comedy. Immature. Like we never know how old the characters of Wayne's World is.
No.
except for that Garth finally grew pubes by the beginning of Wayne's World 2.
Some might say that about your own life, that like you were like... Because I remember when... This is a side note, but like I remember when you like moved out, right? Like mm-hmm. It was very much like Wayne's World 2. Like,
yeah.
Like Rite du Passage, right? And this is tied in as well, because this is like Strangers with Candy is very much like her redoing her rite of passage.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think it's fair to say, at least for the fans and in this film as well, well, like I said, it does feel like a long episode. I don't think the joke gets old. This is a joke with a lot of potential.
Yeah, I mean, she plays it. I mean, what other, like, there's... I mean, it's not straight-up comedy. Isn't there that one with, like, Drew Barrymore that she goes back to, like, high school or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, this has happened a lot.
Yeah.
You know? But...
But she plays it, like I said, like, it's almost like an odd ball, like, Napoleon Dynamite-type character. But, yeah, like, I agree. It doesn't get old. I mean, some jokes are a little, like, you know,
dated and cringeworthy. Like, it's not... But I'm saying the premise doesn't get old.
Yeah.
You could see how there's all potential here.
Yeah, to set up for like...
At least for a series.
Yeah, for a situational comedy.
Yes. So just to reiterate, so the family dynamic is Amy Sedaris, Jerry, her biological mother's dead.
Yes.
Her biological father remarried. So it's her stepmother.
She's been in jail for like, what, 35 years? What is this? Something ridiculous.
Something crazy. I don't think 35 years, but something like from high school.
Yeah, from high school till now, and she's supposed to be in her early 40s.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I don't know if she's been in jail consistently.
Yeah, just like in and out.
Like
and
in and
away
out.
From
she's
home.
Like prostituting herself, yeah. You know. So you have that. You have the brother, like you said, but it's really like her half brother.
Yeah, half brother.
And then the meat man is.
Hunk.
Yeah, he's just, I guess, he's almost like the stepfather here.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I love that.
And it's tough with the TV and the cable. It's like his running gag in it.
I love the dinner table scenes and like the dynamic though, just because it's always like the catatonic father, the stepmother, the brother, her, and it's like, oh, semblance of a family, and the meat man.
Yeah.
There.
And like the guy that's kind of like freeloading or taking advantage of this opportunity.
We'll put it that way. Taking advantage of the situation for sure.
But, yeah, so, I mean, right after, I mean, she gets to high school, and I just said, like, wow, PSH, like, right in the beginning, and then, as we said, he's not really...
Now, is it fair to call this a cameo role at this point?
Yes,
And I think this is, if not his first, one of his first cameo roles, because to me, a cameo role is defined by somebody who has a little bit of fame, at least,
mm-hmm.
and they're making, like, an appearance. He's had small roles before, but I wouldn't call them cameo, because he was just, like, an actor, like a bit player playing a role.
Yeah.
So this is a cameo role. So I looked it up, and he was actually very good friends with Amy Sedaris. I think she lived in the West Village, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's a shame, because, again, I listened to the commentary, and there's one little funny thing for the last scene that he's in that, like, I wrote down that I'll share later, but I was hoping I would get, like, a little bit more insight. But.
Gotcha. Yeah, no, he actually had a quote about her, like, during the filming of, or I guess not the filming, the promotion of this movie. Said, Amy, this is by Philip Seymour Hoffman, Amy is an art form unto herself. She's so utterly unique and shockingly funny. She's also more consistently creative than almost anyone I know.
Wow.
High praise. I mean, and it's fair. Like I said, she's, like, one of the great comedians. Not even comedians, because I feel like, almost like her brother, Yes, she's a comedian, but I don't know if she's like necessarily a stand-up comedian, because I've never seen stand-up. She's more like from the comedy comedian.
Vaudeville.
Yeah, almost like vaudeville, you know?
Well, she's someone that you can see that, like, if whatever, you know, if she was the same person but born in a different decade, she would have found a way to entertain.
Yes. You know, like, they toss these terms around, and sometimes you don't know what they mean, but humorist. I don't know what that is, but, like, she's definitely a humorist.
I just, right away, I always think of, like a, what is that, satirist, satirist?
Yeah.
That, like, it's in the same vein of, like, a humorist will just always, like, also, I mean, obviously, I'm just now saying words with ist at the end of it, but, like, absurdist. but humorist, she is someone that she will find the funny and quirky thing, and this is like, okay, high school. And obviously, like, high school's hard for everybody, but I feel like without obviously questioning people, I think it's more difficult for girls in high school, just because they, I don't know, play mental games with one another. Guys are just like, guys, we were both bullied. Guys are assholes. Like, but women just take it to a different level. So I think just as, I don't know.
Certainly,
I'm commenting with a broad stroke right now.
Certainly in the depictions that we get. Certainly what we've seen, but obviously.
Yeah, so I'm just, I say that all because I think when it came to this point, she's just like, you know, so they were inspired by that after school special or whatever, and she's like, oh, high school, there's just so much you can go,
oh yeah,
like, you know, and then it's just like, let's find our one little thing. Oh, my dad's in a coma and I'm trying to impress him.
And we're splitting hairs here, but I feel like, okay, like Amy Schumer, it's a comedian, right?
Yeah,
she doesn't feel like a humorist. It's, maybe because she had a sketch comedy show, I don't know, but there's something like Amy Sedaris, there's like a different level to her, like I picked Amy Schumer.
Yeah, randomly. Because Amy Schumer, I think still, since she's first and foremost like a comic and like a stand-up comedian, that it's still like she wants to land with the line, versus someone like Amy Sedaris is like, it's unraveling like a story.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
Like,
I mean,
she clearly has moments that she wants, like, a, you know, she's trying to land a laugh at a certain point, but ultimately it's just, like, this whole story and this whole scenario versus Amy Schumer. She gives me, like, a little bit more of, like, I said a funny line, like...
I don't know. Again, I just picked her randomly. I could have picked anyone, but there's something about Amy Sedaris that just brings her to this different level of comedy. And it might not be comedy that a lot of people like. I could easily see, and I'm sure you agree, some people are like, wow, this is really stupid. You know, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But like, that's part of the charm of it.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. But as I said, early on, we get some Philip Seymour Hoffman. And so he plays Henry. Did we get a last name for him? No. So he's part of the school board. Is that... right?
He's a board member, and Allison Janney.
Yes, who is I know we said her before. She's hilarious. She's just been in so many great.
I know you're a big fan of her show with Anna Faris on CBS. Mom,
yeah, classic.
No, I mean, it's still on the air. It does well in ratings, I assume.
Yeah,
I mean, it's not my style, but those are two funny people, and she's a very like.
What's the first thing you like? If we're doing the Allison Janney podcast, what's the first thing you recognize her in?
The West Wing, I guess.
I would say 10 Things I Hate About You.
Fair, but I was just
that's
thinking,
just like always like a character that always stood out.
Yeah, no, it's a great character, but it's to me like West Wing is like where I think she really broke out to like the mainstream media.
Gotcha.
And then I, you know, she's in a ton of stuff.
Yeah.
Juno, you know, like, I mean, she's hilarious, but she can play serious too.
Yeah.
So they're school board members talking to principal Onyx Blackman.
And that's, you know, again, people, those are the jokes that we're getting.
Like, yes. Because he is a black man.
Yeah, he's a black man, and and his last name is Blackman. But I love the sexual tension and the innuendos that are being thrown back and forth between Principal Blackman and Alice. And then just like fills your heart. You know, let's play the clip for you.
Alice, Henry, So nice to have members of the school board in my chambers. Can I fix you to a drink?
This is a high school, Onyx.
My mistake. Would you care to handle my pistol?
No, thanks.
Alice?
I think I've handled your pistol enough.
I'm sorry. That was insensitive. So, as to what do I owe the pleasure of this surprise attack visit? May I blithely assume you're here to deliver the rest of my discretionary funding?
Look, Onyx, you are required to send us documentation proving that your students have actually achieved the high test scores that you claim.
What? You didn't receive my package? Iris!
Yes, Principal Blackman?
What happened to the documents the school board requested?
I don't know.
I know what must have happened. I didn't send it. I'm glad that's cleared up. I'll take that drink now.
If we don't receive concrete proof by next week, you will not be receiving any future funding, and as required by law, we'll return any and all monies the board has already provided. Understand?
But Alice, I naturally assume that given our past long-standing mutuality, you'd perhaps be more generous with your letting it slide?
Our days of sliding are over.
Am I missing something here?
No, Henry, you're not missing anything. And neither am I.
I'm sorry to hear that, Alice.
Are you?
Let me ask a question here. Did you have sex with Alice?
You have 1 week to prove your students are above average in any way.
I have a right to know I'm on the school board.
I have 3,000 students and nearly a dozen teachers. Surely one of them must have a decent brain.
Hey! Hey, that's my car!
I love it. Just cut and dry. Did you sleep with Alice? Like, that's just... And
we get our mustache Hoffman here.
We get, yeah.
This is like...
We should do a mustache. We've done, like, death count. We should do a mustache.
How many times he's had a mustache?
Yeah, I can think specifically Owning Mahoney... Almost Famous, and Money for Nothing.
Money for Nothing. There has to be another one.
Yeah. Oh, and then we eventually get it in the Greek character. I always forget his name, but Charlie Wilson's War.
Yeah.
So.
Gus something.
And The Master. So off the top of my head, people, that's what you're getting right now. But
he's a man who pulls off a mustache.
Yeah, he rocks a mustache well.
He. It's always, not that this is a prep school, but we've seen him like prep school student, mm-hmm. and even now prep school authority figure, or school authority figure.
Yeah.
But again, this is like a cameo bit role, and mm-hmm. I mean, he's funny, he's good.
Yeah.
There's not enough here for me to be like, wow, he steals the show. He certainly doesn't steal the show.
No, but I mean, if you're ever questioning his comedic abilities, I'll just reference you back to our Long Game Poly episode, and that's everything and anything you need to know about him and his comedic timing. So.
Absolutely.
That's what I have to say about that, and I mean his performance in this. But I mean, from here, I mean, as I said, it was more for me in this movie, just like the teacher. So it's, you've got the art teacher who's played by, again, by Paul Dinello, and then you have the principal Blackman, and then you even have so Sarah Jessica Parker plays the counselor. She's a tip jar. So it's just all. I actually, you know what it is like now. Like you know, I didn't give a lot of thought besides just like laughing and just made me think of scenarios. And what I'm realizing now is, from a kid's perspective, that would be like almost the jokes you're making. Like, oh, a guidance counselor probably wanted a tip for like you know, that advice or whatever. And that's what I think.
It reminds me too of like I think Lucy was their character's name, and Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
It's like 5 cents for advice, you know. Apparently, Janine Garofalo played a similar, not the same character, but a similar character in the series. So it's not recast, because she was the grief, Sarah Jessica Parker was the grief counselor.
Yes, grief counselor.
And Janine Garofalo was the guidance counselor, so a little different.
Yeah, and then Justin Theroux's the driver's ed teacher, and he's like, that was such a weird driver's, number one, they're like blowing like exhaust into the classroom, and they're looking at a projector, and they're behind a steering wheel, and then he's just like jumping in front of the vehicle as a lesson. I would have paid more attention to driver's ed class.
Yeah, there's a lot of gag scenes here.
Yeah, and then most notably, the Stephen Colbert character of Mr. Noblet,
Noble, yeah.
And Noble. And
it was gonna be with Colbert, Noble, yeah.
Oh. Colbert, Noble, yeah. And his introduction actually her at the end of that clip is the students are totally not like wrecking his car just in the parking lot.
Yeah. Comes out. So he's definitely a linchpin of this film and of the series.
Yes.
He's a Comedy Central teacher? Guy because
yeah.
He did this and then he did. I mean, he was on Daily Show, I think, Daily around the same time. And then, of course, he had his own show, and now he has his own real own show, the Late Show.
Yes.
He's not a character. So, I mean, this is a. I don't know if this is a launching pad for him, but it's.
He's a company man.
Yes. So I guess like the main crux of this film, or like I feel like more like episode / film, is that Principal Blackman needs to keep funding money.
Yeah. So as we learned in that scene, that's what they came here for, because he said that the students were doing very well, but they need proof. And so he decides to have at the science fair
I like how he needs this funding money to repay his gambling debts.
Yeah.
But regardless, yes. So they need proof in a week or a month or something where.
Yeah.
We just heard it, whatever. But where it's just like one achievement from a student.
Yeah, exactly. One student will represent the basis of this whole student body of the whole school.
So Stephen Colbert's character, as you mentioned, he's like the science teacher.
Yeah.
Which has a weird love triangle with the art teacher, who's the, we mentioned his name before.
Yeah, the art teacher.
Is the, like, one of the showrunners.
Yeah, he's Paul Dinello.
Paul Dinello.
And his character's name is Jeffrey Jellyneck.
Joffrey.
Joffrey. Joffrey,
yeah, because I remember, not the Game of Thrones Joffrey.
No.
Very different. And they have, it's weird because Colbert's character is a really religious guy.
Yeah.
Who's also gay with the art teacher.
But is he? Because then when he's carrying him at the end when at the craziness of the science fair, then someone calls out his name and it's a woman standing there with a child, and it made me think that it was his wife. So I thought,
he is married.
Okay.
He says he's married, but I think he's having an affair. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Fans of the show, correct me if I'm wrong, but I got some heavy.
I just thought, as a man that loves a good bromance, I thought this was just like a real hot and heavy bromance.
Maybe. I don't know. I mean, that'll be something I'll look up.
Yeah.
But regardless, so he's assuming with the science fair that he's going to captain the science fair team or whatever, which is so silly. Then they bring in a ringer. Matthew Broderick.
Yes, they bring in Matthew Broderick, who plays.
I don't really get what he's more like a choreographer.
Yeah, so
he's like a
that's
science.
How you win a science fair is not with the
science
the project
presentation.
But the presentation of it all. I guess that's fun because since he's a very Broadway guy,
I guess
that's a joke in itself.
And then Amy Sedaris signs up for the science fair.
Yeah. But then she becomes friends with, and this was another character that was replaced, but the character's name is Megawati.
So, by the way, I checked it out. Chuck Noble, he is having a secret gay relationship with Joffrey.
Okay.
But he has a wife named Claire and a son.
Mystery uncovered.
Yes.
So, like we said, that's the main plot. It's more or less. It's just all the fun. I'm just gonna say some of my favorite little things from
moments.
That. Yeah, exactly. Like
if
from
you will.
Sarah Jessica Parker.
It's a film of moments.
Yes, Sarah Jessica Parker being the grief counselor and just not giving.
It's so funny because weren't we talking about Sarah Jessica Parker last week or not?
Where are we? Oh, because we talked about Sex
and
the City.
Who would be on Sex and the City, and now she's appearing here.
And that's also, she shared a very famous scene with, in Staten, Maine, with Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You know what? I forgot about that.
Yeah, so I think.
So he's worked with her before, not that they work with each other in this film, but.
No.
But they've co-starred with each other before. Totally forgot about that.
Yes. It's visual gags, the topless cafeteria guy. It was just really it made me think of us in high school, and there was that really small cafeteria window that you had to squat down to like get the pizza from or whatever. Colbert's big reaction. That's really fun. All the characters just have these huge reactions, especially him just constantly saying, God damn it. Jerry hitting on Tammy, Kristen Johnson, she plays, from Third Rock from the Sun.
Oh, yeah.
She's the whole running of the bull story, so she comes in for the gym class. And just
that is so weird, yeah.
And in their gym class, they do a running of the bulls.
Random.
Yeah.
I think one of the crux moments here, though, is definitely the whole... So there's rival science teams, and the popular kids are on one of them.
Because, again, that's being run by, I think Matthew Broderick's character's name is Roger Beekman. And so, like we said, he's more about the pizzazz and the showmanship or the presentation.
And they don't actually have a project. They just have basically, a show planned.
A show planned and the big, what ends up being, a conflict in the movie is that they steal the plans from the smart team.
Yeah, yeah. So Matthew Broderick kind of says, we need to get a plan. So the popular kids...
He uses popular kids, but then he uses...
Joffrey. Joffrey, yeah. So in two ways, he's trying to get these plans. But I want to discuss Chris Pratt's role here, because he plays one of the... Do we get his character name?
He's also aged very well.
Yes.
Chris Pratt plays Brayson.
Brayson, the popular guy, and it's still weird.
Who's like a senior on the
squat thrust team?
Yeah, the squat team, squat thrust team.
So weird, varsity, right?
Yeah.
Because the brother's on JV.
Yeah.
And he looks up to him.
Yeah, and he's just like, "Wow, the way that you that last competition you're in, the way you squatted that,
Oh, did we mention that? Her best friend, because it relates to this.
Megawati.
What's his name?
Megawati.
Megawati. Yes, he's Indonesian in this film.
Yes.
But in the series, it's a Filipino.
Ah.
A Filipino kid, and it's a different kid.
So Pacific Island.
That's why. She says, "What are you, Filipino?" in the movie, and that's one of the in jokes. I think that the series fans would get.
Would appreciate a bit more. And it's pretty fun. So the DVD menu, did you catch that? They're playing the Indonesian music at the end.
Yeah,
it's at first I thought it was Middle Eastern music. I'm like, why is it?
So basically and he has a crush on her, and the Filipino kid, sorry, I don't know his name from the series, has a crush on her in the show. So they're parallel characters.
Gotcha.
But she kind of has a group of friends with the redhead and this guy,
and their team forms into the Fig Neutrons.
The Fig Neutrons, and they actually come up with a big, I forgot what their project is, but it's a scientific breakthrough project.
Yeah,
but it doesn't have any of the pizzazz, of course.
It's a soup can, conductor.
Conductor, yes. So she has secret plans for it. And for some reason, they trust her with them. And, of course, so the popular kids devise a way to steal it. And it's basically Chris Pratt asking Amy Sedaris out on a date.
Yeah, Chris Pratt's girlfriend tells him, to go over there. And
yeah, and this is... I mean, are we assuming he's 18? He's a senior?
Yeah.
Either way, it's kind of just...
Yeah.
whatever. But... She's she has no idea it's a ruse. She's smitten with him.
Yeah, I totally.
He picks her up at her house, and it's just so weird, And
that's also so. Then the kind of stepdad, but the meat man, he's got the big overreaction. So he said the doorbell.
Yeah.
Again, people, it's just these little silly moments.
Farce, a lot of physical comedy in this film.
Yeah.
So I like when they go to the party though. So Chris Pratt brings her to the party. And it's just it's so weird, and first of all, some of it's too silly. She gets high and she's going crazy.
That, and this is one thing, just because feet in general weird me out, but I never like the visual gag of long toenails. even in Dumb and Dumber they have it, and this one it's just
because she takes her shoes off.
Yeah, and it's just like gross. The clickety clack of the long toenails.
And again, she it's so obvious. They're like, oh, so what's your science project about? And she, like, blurts out everything.
Yeah.
And she says where the plans are, so Chris Pratt has to, like, go back to her house.
And she tries to seduce him.
Yes.
And so it is, it does follow also then, like, the tropes of the high school.
Yeah, and, but that's what makes it kind of funny.
Yeah, because it's a satire of sorts, you know.
Chris Pratt in this, what do you think? I think he's still trying to feel out his acting legs. Or
yeah, I'm not like 110% sold on Chris Pratt as far as like his
acting chops,
like full on like dramatic acting.
But
chops.
But okay, but I mean,
but you, this isn't a drama anyway.
Exactly, and you can't tell me that like towards middle and end of Parks and Recreation he wasn't like on point.
Oh. Yeah, he was just like...
I mean, even from the beginning, he's hilarious.
Yeah, from at least like...
But
at least
like season one, he's still a little bit
season out. Two on of Parks and Rec, Andy Dwyer is just becomes like...
Hilarious, yeah. You know? And this is a comedy, so...
Yeah, I think he's just... I mean, so he's pretty young and just like getting into, you know, the acting scene at this point in his career. And yeah, I mean, his role isn't supposed to be...
No, it's
funny.
Not supposed to be big, but... Andy Dwyer, again, I hate to compare it to this, but he was not supposed to be even someone who was featured past the first season.
Yeah.
And he just really took it and ran with it. And
he's almost the Steve Urkel.
And I'm happy that, like, he was able to do that. But
yes.
We see here, like, it's a very raw Chris Pratt.
Yeah.
We're just like, ooh, I'm the popular kid. Whatever, you know? But, I mean, that's pretty much his arc here. Besides the fact that he's on that other team and he dances at some point.
Yeah. So, I mean, it becomes an all hope is lost moment. Noble, like, has this whole dramatic, like, hope. And Amy Sedaris, just through her knowledge from, you know, doing time or whatever, says that she created this battery source one time. So that's what they end up deciding to do. For their science fair project.
Yeah, because the other people not only have... I actually like the line from Principal Blackman. The other people's... Matthew Broderick's team steals the project. So they have not only the best project, but also the best choreographed...
Yeah, presentation.
Thing. presentation. And the principal comes in and is like, oh, the other team already has
that.
That's
the exact same project.
And I saw them first, so, like, you know, like... There's no need for you to perform at all.
Yeah.
Like, it's so stupid. But... yeah, so you, like you said, they invent that battery thing.
Yeah, so now, you know, Jerry's back on the team, and she brought them back some, you know, she made up for her, I guess, transgressions.
Yes, her treason.
And Joffrey comes back as well.
Yeah, Matthew Broderick dumps Joffrey.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, because I think they even have, like, a little bit of a
Yeah,
dynamic.
There's definitely a little bit of a...
I don't know.
And, I mean, then we, you know, cut to the science fair, and we've got our... Mean man back again, but he really, besides like two lines, he really doesn't say much in this scene.
No, so he's in two scenes.
Yeah.
And he says, what did he say?
In this final scene,
yeah,
the big things are, she's with me now, and again, it's just like he just so quick and like saying that to Principal Blackman with the whole Alice scenario. And then they're just still Alice and Principal Blackman have that sexual tension that he just yells out, "You whore!"
It's so weird.
And it's just so... I mean...
so, I mean...
Over the top. And,
yeah, to set the scene, there's two musical numbers.
Yeah.
Essentially.
There's the Superconductor song. And at this point, I just even wrote, like, okay, what the fuck am I watching?
But this is the climax of the film, like I said, but it feels more like a climax of an episode of a show.
Yeah, definitely. And then we get the song, and they use Megawati's Indonesian music, and everyone's dressed up, particularly Jerry Blank is in what looks like to be traditional Indonesian garb of sorts.
It's definitely, like, Eastern, you know?
Yeah.
And we said, it's like the eyes over the eyelids thing, you know?
And then through that, they light up they start their battery. But it didn't wake her dad up, unfortunately.
No.
Her being the success then. But then again, we get one of our last like big dramatic moments, and it's from the principal. There's just the battery explodes, but it's like when I say
first they win the contest, though, right?
Yes, that's how little it meant to me.
Yeah, like I mean, Hoffman's part of it because they don't, you know, they don't have a vote. Like,
yes,
he's one of the judges or whatever.
Okay, and so this is where it comes in of my one little like what I got as far as fun little trivia from the commentary. So Paul Dinello, again, as the director, told Philip Seymour Hoffman, because Alice asked him to tally it up or whatever, he asked him to write something that would just get, like, a reaction from Alice's, you know, Alice and Jenny's character, Alice, and because you see her face and she's pretty like shocked or whatever, so he wrote it on a piece of paper, and it's even funny. So it's Dinello, Colbert, and Sedaris talking, and they're like, can we say this? And it's just like, well, you just made an R movie, so I think it's fine. So Philip Seymour Hoffman decided to write, "Your pussy smells bad."
What?
On a piece of that was
oh my god, what an interesting fact. That's wow,
right? That's just fucking raw and rude and
yeah, that crude. Is very rude. But again, he was going under direction.
And yeah, and as far as Alice and Janet, I mean, she's got a sense of humor. So
yes, and she's a professional. She understands what he was doing. I hope you know.
But
wow, that is a good note.
Yeah, and let's see, that's what I learned.
So that's the last we really see of him.
Yes. And like I said, so we get the dramatic fire from Principal Blackman when and it pretty much becomes a very chaotic scene of everyone.
Yeah, things start blowing up and getting destroyed. I don't know.
And it's we get a we just had it recently with Along Came Polly. It was a slip and slide for PSH, but this one you all of a sudden the character slide in like between Alice and Principal Blackman.
Yes.
They're hiding behind the table.
So that's really the last time we see him.
Yes.
So a little physical comedy from our man, PSH.
Classic. And then we learn after that, because we see that Jerry like passes out and we see someone picking her up, and then everyone's around her bed in a very Wizard of Oz-esque fashion. And it's that her dad saved her, but then now we get just like Ian Holm is very small in this movie, just like how Philip Seymour Hoffman is, and he's now back, and he says...
You said he's very small in this movie?
He's a small...
Like Hobbit?
Yeah.
It's like a Hobbit size role.
Small role, yeah, exactly. big feet, though. And...
Big heart.
But so her dad did wake up, and he saved her. But he's just like so silly and so stupid. He's like, oh, he's just catching up on his sleep. He's, you know, he's a lot of sleep to catch up on. So that, like, he wasn't back in the Congress.
Which is so silly.
Back in bed, and that's the movie.
That's it. Strange as a candy. That's
strange as a candy.
So Kyle, I'll ask, does it make you want to watch the show at all?
No. I said in the last episode maybe I was gonna like catch up to watching it, or maybe I was going to watch this and I would have watched the episodes. I could have binge-watched them today before we, or at least some of them, but I watched this movie, and while it did make me laugh a couple of, you know, good solid times, it's...
I mean, look, I might watch the show. I'm not like, yay, jumping for joy, like, I gotta see this show, but I definitely see the merits of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I think I could binge watch this like one weekend or something, and just because I like Stephen Colbert, I like the writers here, I like this comedy sometimes.
Yeah,
I mean, even like Wet Hot American Summer is like a similar comedy.
Oh,
style.
You know what? That is a very similar.
Yeah, and I like Wet Hot American
Summer. This is high school.
Summer.
That's like summer camp. It's just one of those like. Again, when you grow a little, when you get older, and you're just like thinking about the ridiculousness of those scenarios, and again, like the overdramatic likeness of it, is because when you are that age, and not that it's not important, but that is your world, and that is the end all be all.
Yeah.
So that's just what they're building off of in this, and again, it works. It does work. So I wouldn't not watch it. Like if so, you're saying you might watch it. So if I came over one time, and I saw you, I wouldn't be like Brian. I wouldn't be like Brian.
No, I know, because you seemed like you didn't hate this movie.
No. So yeah. was...
But, I mean, look, if I have the time, I'll definitely, like, watch this. Because I do think Amy Sedaris is great, and I think she, like, really, really commits to this character.
I'm excited to watch more of her new show. I think it's on True TV.
With yeah, another True TV reference.
Which is just ridiculous that Court TV has now become True TV.
The home that Impractical Jokers built.
Yeah.
Because literally, like I said... a million times, see, and I know you've seen, they run Impractical Jokers 99% of the time on that channel.
Yeah, that is a succubus of a show. It is just quicksand, black hole.
Yeah, because it's so, this is a tangent, guys, sorry, but it's so, like, cheap to produce.
Yeah.
You know? Maybe now you might have to pay the guys more, but you still don't have to pay them probably, like, nothing, A-list actor
still
levels.
Crazy.
Yeah, and you know, you're just out with a camera and just having a good time, like, you know.
I saw, like, it's like they're doing season 6 right now, the finale of that, they're out, like, as, like, performing for, like, the troops and stuff, and it's, like, huge.
Oh, really? Yeah. I mean, good for them, you know? But it's so simple, and it brings you in. But it's smart, because they actually have some other good programming on the show, like, I mentioned John Glazer Loves Gear. If they didn't cancel that, I don't know. Uh-huh. But they do run a lot of good other shows. I've never seen Those Who Can't, the teacher one with this, the one who's in here.
Okay.
But they do run other shows, and it's like Impractical Jokers brings you in, and then you start to like other shows and watch other shows. So like,
it's their anchor show.
It is their anchor show, and it's a strategy. And her
now,
show,
Amy Sedaris.
And you mentioned, what was the name of it again?
It is called...
I keep seeing the promos for it while I'm watching Impractical Jokers.
At Home with Amy Sedaris.
At Home with Amy Sedaris. Yeah, no, definitely check that show out, because you said it was pretty good, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like a big thing nowadays, like, of like the spoof, like, cooking shows and just like the whole...
Does she actually cook things at all? Like, is there some element of it?
It's like you never learn, it's just like all like... kind of like spoof, like making it way too more complicated than it should be.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's cool. I'm still into that, though.
Yeah.
So anything else you want to add to Strangers with Candy?
Actually, I do want to say I wrote down a couple of, at the science fair, I thought a lot of a couple of exhibits were really funny. One was called, I had to pause them to write it down, but it was Friction, Factor Fiction. the other one was, The Whys of Bloody Eyes, and then the other one, and actually something else I learned from the commentary, but it was The Miracle of Reproduction, and you just saw, like, the top, or the bottom halves of a man and a woman, and the guy's on top, or whatever, and it's, like, supposed to be two students, like, having sex in the middle of the science fair, showing the Miracle of Reproduction, and then it was just really funny in the commentary, because, again, it was, you know, films from Hoffman's, like, in the background looking at it, so I'm listening to Sedaris and all them talking, and she was like, oh, they were actually, because of the scene, they started dating, and they're a couple now.
Is that for real? Yeah. Oh, my God.
So
that's funny. I guess... Philip's been off in podcast.
Yeah.
What do you think of his cameo here overall? Or?
It's, again, it like almost, it's just one of those things we learned such a valuable lesson from talking with Amos Poe that I think that this was, again, just another one. He's just like, yeah, why not? I love acting. These are some fun people. Like, he obviously had very, just amounts of praise and love for Amy Sedaris. So why not just, you know, work on it for. I can't imagine that was more than 2 days.
I can't imagine that either.
Because it's literally two scenes. It's not even like a weird breakdown of scenes. You know?
Yeah. And, I mean, maybe one more day for that fall, you know?
Yeah.
Sure. That scene.
Yeah, because,
like,
yeah,
chaos.
Exactly.
Yeah. So maybe three days, but good for him. I mean, it's funny because I guess we can tease it now, but next week we get a
very similar film.
Yes, very similar film. No. A very big film of his, Capote.
Is the, I mean, one could call it the pinnacle of his career.
The Academy certainly did.
Yeah, sure.
But no. And next week we'll have a guest we haven't had in a while, but a guest we had early on.
Yeah, back from a Twister episode. In the first episode we had four people on, but that would be John Harden will come back.
John Harden, actor.
Yeah.
Dancer.
Chess
chess master. Well, I don't know. He's not. I don't know if he's teacher. Officially a chess master, but he's a teacher. Yeah. He's a master to us, but I think that's an actual rank.
And he's a corrector of ours and
corrector of grammar
and a brunch goer as well.
A brunch goer. We're actually going to be doing that podcast after brunch.
Yeah.
So unless he cancels on us.
So I'll be sounding very full.
Full. Just maybe like, a little tipsy on the mimosas.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, definitely looking forward to talking about Capote. What a change of pace.
Yeah.
What a change of pace that's going to be.
And that's going to be bringing up the end of Act Two. So.
So, yeah, and then we'll have something special the week after, and we'll let you know about exactly what that will be when we do Capote. In the meantime, just prep yourself, listen to all her other episodes, so that you're ready for the culmination of his hard work and where he gets his Oscar and Capote.
Boom, yeah, exactly. All of this, and just see it blend, just put it all together, blend it all together, and then you'll see Truman Capote.
Yeah. So, I guess, if you had to suggest a couple episodes for our fans to listen to, I don't know.
Ooh.
Not prep, but like almost be like, all right, these are the steps that got him there. Sorry, I'm putting you on the spot. But
no, this is what we do. Hands down, 110%, like also because... Like,
My new gun.
My new gun. no, it's almost like as like a companion piece or just like a role that you see like... that helped him grow to Capote, Scotty J, and Boogie Nights.
Boogie Nights, definitely listen to that episode.
That's a big one. I will also say his role as the nurse in Magnolia, and I know, I mean, it's just easy for me to go, like, yeah, P.T. Anderson films, and he's fantastic in them. But also, then I would say a movie like either Love Lies or Owning Mahoney, where he got to be the lead in them.
Yeah, those would be good episodes of ours to listen to.
Yeah, I
would also say, and we've been teasing this, not teasing this, but we've been promoting this or pushing this for a while since we did it, but definitely listen to that episode where we interviewed Amos Poe, the director of his first film. And
the man just gives the most like invaluable like
insight.
Just,
yeah. So definitely listen to that one. And of course you can listen to all the episodes on cageclub.me, cageclub.me.
Yep.
All the other shows are on there too.
Yeah, they just said that. So they've, again, what is it? It's the...
Yeah, we've been talking about this for a couple.
Watch the Theron.
The Fast and Furious one.
Yeah, I just saw the poster for it today. It's called Too Fast, Too Forever.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. But it, I mean, I'm looking forward to that one.
It's got an infinity symbol in like tire tracks.
Channing Tatum one.
Yeah,
Ryan Gosling.
As Danny McBride said in This Is the End, Tate Yum.
And the Gosling one is called Boyfriend Material or something like
that. Yeah, that's like a really big thing for like I think it's like a for women, like the memes of like all like, oh girl, take it easy. It's like right, like pretty much like a consoling and emotionally considerate Ryan Gosling memes.
You've called yourself Northern New Jersey's Ryan Gosling in the past.
No, I always say no. That's not. I've never. That's not far. That's not like.
I was kidding. But what?
I think it's a funny and like just like easy little quip of me going like chubby Ryan Gosling.
That
like,
you are chubby Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. And whether I am or not, I find it a funny thing to say, and it usually gets a laugh out of who I'm usually trying to get a laugh from is a woman at the time that I'm talking to. So
the ladies,
whether
it be on the interweb or through snail mail.
Snail mail.
Yeah, and your chain letters.
My chain letters.
Kyle is a famous chain letter circle of women around the world.
Oh yeah, you know. I forgot about that.
You're also your smoke signals and skywriting.
Yeah, I've actually recently I've gotten into street art as far as you know.
No, but in all seriousness, check out cageclub.me.
Yes.
And you'll get the real Ryan Gosling stuff there eventually. And yeah, I mean, thanks so much for listening. Definitely tune in next week. It's going to be pretty awesome. We're excited about it.
Yeah, Capote, it's a hell of a film, a hell of a performance, and I think it'll be a hell of a episode.
Like, listen, follow, share, subscribe, and 100% for this one, because unfortunately Kyle nor I were really fans of Strangers with Candy, the TV show. Please, Strangers with Candy TV show fans, comment so we can read your comments and discuss them and take a deep dive, maybe.
Sell me on it, people. Get me to like do the easy thing of watching all three seasons.
Sell Kyle on it.
Yeah.
Sell Kyle on it. Well, thanks so much again, and Kyle.
stay uncool, Hawfans.
Thank you.
Where did you come from, baby? Miracles since you came along, you sex a thing.